6:54 on this Thursday. A new study, it's out of the Center for Health Equity Studies in Stockholm, looking at the effect of allowing children of divorced parents to spend time with both. And the study says, look, that it's highly beneficial. So do parents allow for that? Or do they, are they willing to do that typically in, when they're dealing with divorce? Tim Hoke is a legal strategist and attorney, deals with all kinds of civil cases, including divorce. It's HocheLawFirm.com. That's H-O-C-H LawFirm.com. Tim, great to have you here. Oh, there he goes. Okay, let's try him again. Hopefully he was wasn't sitting on the line too long. And hopefully he'll be here. The study is they took 150,000 of these Swedish children from 12 to 15, and they basically looked at all kinds of issues they're having, if they were having sleeping problems, concentrating, decreased appetite, headaches, that kind of thing. And what they found is that 69% of kids who lived in these nuclear families apparently were not having these issues at all, but the main problem was those that did not get to spend time with both parents. Again, Tim Hoke, an attorney, he deals with divorce cases quite often, and he knows the dynamics there. Hey, Tim, great to have you here.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Excuse me. Sorry about that, Michael.
No, afternoon. I mean, yeah, afternoon is good. Now, let me ask you this. Do parents, when they're going through divorce, because you're an attorney, you're trying to settle the case, do you talk to them about, you know, the well-being of their children in the process?
You know, that's one of the first things I address. If a parent comes to me and they're about to get divorced and they want to get divorced, that's the very first thing we consider is talking about your kids and making sure that the kids' well-being is paramount.
And how do they see it? Because I'm guessing the kids don't want the parents to get divorced. How is that addressed, and how do you work through it in the process of actually getting divorced?
Well, the biggest thing is communication, right? I mean, there's a lot of bitterness that goes into divorce. And so when you have a client come in to see you, you have to tamp down the emotion. That's the first thing, because what you need to explain to a client is this is a business decision, all right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to deal with the ramifications of this either emotionally or financially the rest of your life. So why don't we square away the emotional part and then deal with the financial part? Mm-hmm. And part of that is making certain you don't use kids as leverage or as a bargaining chip.
As a bargaining chip. In what way do you see that being done?
Oh, denying a visitation, things like that. Using that as, hey, I'll allow you custody if I get a bigger piece of the pie. I mean, this sounds really gross and horrible, but it's true. I mean, there's a lot of folks that come in and actually use kids as a bargaining chip, unfortunately.
Are you able to really talk them out of it if that's their approach?
Yeah, typically you are. I mean, you got to...
Almost there? Sometimes it comes back. And sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes we have to call them back. Hey, let's get them on real quick. We just have a few more minutes. I did want to get to one other point there. I mean, the signal was clear till it evaporated. I mean, to me, look, part of the issue is that from the divorces I've seen, one parent will say, look, I don't think it's good for my child to be with my ex. I don't want them spending time in that environment because of whatever, you know. They might have children at that point. They might have remarried to somebody else. And sometimes I guess they couch it in a way where they say that, hey, it's actually to my child's well-being not to even be around their natural father or mother. We're not getting them back? That's crazy. Okay. Try them one more time, Solomon. Let's see if we can get just a couple more minutes out of this interview. The problem is that in the end, it's not going to be perfect, right? I mean, you're not going to have a perfect solution. So there's, both parents are going to be a little put off by the process. Obviously, you don't get to spend as much time as you want with your child. And so, lose, win, win. Hey, Tim, let me ask you this. So I hear parents sometimes saying that they actually feel it's not good for their child's well-being to be with the other parent. They feel like they're a bad influence. Well, how do you deal with that kind of thing?
Well, that's sometimes the courts help with that, and they'll intervene, and they'll do in-home studies or psychological studies or things that try to give some sort of objective point of view, and that helps. And you tell your client, look, you're going to get looked at, and your spouse or your soon-to-be ex-spouse is going to get looked at, and thoroughly vetted. Oh, if you're BSing me, then don't do that.
What are you saying? Oh, they don't want that process to begin where they get investigated?
Right. Well, or like I said, there's going to be an in-home study.
Uh-huh.
And the in-home study is usually going to try to determine who's best for the kids in terms of long-term possessory care. And, you know, a lot of want this. They'll lighten up on telling lies about the other side.
I see. It kind of breaks through. Is typically, is it the splitting the custody, is that the best kind of setup usually or not so?
Absolutely. It's the best setup because, you know, the kids, that's what they want. The kids want to be able to have contact with both parents and not have the two sides play against the middle. And most mature folks are able to come to that arrangement. It may be difficult at first. But most mature folks are able to sit down and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. And I've seen folks that you look come to my office that you think they will never, ever agree on what's in the best interest of the kids. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they do.
And is it usually weekdays with one parent and maybe weekends with the other? What's the typical deal?
It's typically over. They split holidays, and then there's a midweek arrangement with maybe a Wednesday or something. The Wednesdays between when they don't get the kids, so that kind of thing.
You said they split holidays too. Do the parents end up enjoying their time off, or do they just want to have the kids as much as possible?
Well, that depends. Uh-huh. depends on the kid. You know, I've got some parents that are like, "Oh, please come take him," and then I've got parents that you know can't get enough. So, it depends. Before they get to teenagers, they want all they can. Once they get teenagers, they don't want anything to do with them. So
that's when I'm
kidding and being anecdotal, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, it's a different stage of life. They can be temperamental. So the essentially that you're saying this study out of Sweden, it's probably correct that you the psychologically the kids that have that split time with their parents do better than those that only get to be with one.
Yeah, definitely, no question about it. I mean, they need the influence of both the mom and the dad.
Do you talk to the kids at all as a divorce attorney, or are they not part of that discussion?
I really don't, but the judge usually does. And typically, in most states, the judge will consider them before the age of 12.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you got cut out. The judge will what?
The judge will consider the wishes of the child. If they're over the age of 12.
Over 12. So they can actually dictate who they stay with permanently. And, that is the process. Yeah. Not a fun process, but many people go through it and survive. And Tim Hoke is one of the guys that helps them through it. Tim Hoke, a legal strategist, attorney, deals with all kinds of civil law, including, of course, divorce. HokeLawFirm.com. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Yep. And, well, that's it. We somehow made it through. Thank you for joining us. I have to admit, I'm a bit disappointed we didn't get Eric Hipple, but I'm going to reach back out. And we did leave him a message, though, right? We left him a message, so he knows we called. Maybe he'll be on tomorrow, because he did have quite a personal and dramatic story about his experiences. And he's a former Lions football player. He's got a lot to say about a lot of things, so I'd like to have him on hopefully tomorrow, because we'll be right here. If you tune in, we'll be here live, 6 p.m. on 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. Have a good night, and we will talk to you again very soon tomorrow here on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.